tripping.
To the old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, and I love the old cross. There is the birth for a wonderful sinner was slain on old rugged cross. Whether there is the for a world of then I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost so I'll carry the old so I'll cherish the old rugged ground till my trusted heart to love I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged the old rugged cross till my trophies are to love I lay down. I will cling to the old of my life, Lord, has changed for a crown.
dirt is from the cross. Up your hands
to the old rock of God. All is just a day.
Breathe upon this service this morning. Breathe upon this service this morning. Lift your hands. And under this climate of the cross, I take authority over the spirit of retrogression. Backward dreams, seeing yourself in the family house in the village, writing exams that you have written 20 years ago. I take authority over this tormenting spirit of retrogression, backwardness. You have no place in this life. You have no place in this family. You have no place in this destiny. Get off now. Lift your hand.
Of retrogression, your tenure expires. Get out now in the name of Jesus.
I take authority over the spirit of the dead,
seeing your dead father, dead mother, dead brother, dead sisters, dead relation in the dream, graves, coffins. I arrest you, dead spirit. Your chain is broken. Your yoke is broken. Get out now in the name of Jesus. Seeing yourself fighting and struggling in the dream, I rebuke that devil. I rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus. That battle is over. That struggle is over. And I take authority over the evil life of cancer. Evil life. Evil that serpentine dragon spirit. The octopus spirit. Liver cancer. Lung cancer. Bashakatakapa. Kidney cancer. Cancer of the uteros. The ovaries. Ovarian cancer. Prostatic cancer. Every life-threatening disease in your body. I take authority over kidney failure. Lung failure. I take authority over asthma. I take authority. Lose your grip of this life. Barrenness. Blocked fallopian tubes. Spirit of suicide. Depression. Get out in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Master. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. In Jesus' precious name. Wave your hands and give him the praise. Shake three hands and welcome them to the presence of the Lord. Your hands and give him the praise. Greatest strength is the cross of Calvary. Our greatest boasting is the cross. He's the reason why we are here. He's the reason for every miracle, every sign, and every wonder. And I believe you are not living here the same. In Jesus' precious name. As we begin to come towards the end of this month, the month of the Word, one more, please let me remind you that somebody's miracle could be at stake. So walking out before the grace is shared is not encouraged. That woman even told her son, hold on. And then her word came and her miracle came. Please, when you come to church, come ready to stay till the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. Stay until that end, and the Lord shall bless you in Jesus' name. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a natural man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Speaking on the subject, getting the most out of the word. Getting the most out of the word of God. Our objective this morning is to understand what to do to get the most out of the word of God. The Bible made it clear that the word of God is loaded with profit and benefits for the child of God. It's loaded. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17, we read, he said, he is the Lord who teacheth you to profit. I am the Lord your God, which teacheth you to profit. Psalm 119, verse 164. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. All right. Now, Psalm 12, verse 6. He said, "Thy word, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace, purified 7 times." So the word of God is likened to precious silver. Is a precious treasure likened to silver. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 3. Concerning Jesus, who is also the word, the Bible said, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the word of God is a container of treasure, of treasure, of treasure. Where we wanted to read Psalm 119 verse 162. He said, "I rejoice at your word as one that findeth great spoil." The word of God is a harvest to the soul and the life of a person. What is the point? The word of God will do for you what money can do. Also, the word of God will do for you what no human connection can do for you. The word will do for you what money can do. The word will do for you what no human connection can do. Also, the word of God will do for you what your expertise can do for yourself. What your skill can do. Peter toiled all night. He got nothing. But he said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." In Luke chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. The word of God will do for you what your certificate cannot do for you. What your talent cannot do for you. What your skill can do for you. If that is the case, what do you do to get this treasure from the world? Whatever you see around us, around this ministry, around this place today, is nothing but the outcome of the word. What do you do to get the best from the word? Number one, desperate pressure for light or insight. Desperate pressure. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible said, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. They pressed upon him. They pressed upon him. That is verse 1. And then in verse 3, he then entered one of the ships and began to teach the people. As the people pressed, he stopped to teach. I like you to know that they were not pressing for miracles. They were not pressing for anything else. They were pressing for the word. And he stopped and taught the word. Pressure. Let me say it this way. The treasures of the word of God respond to the pressures from the heart of man. The treasure of the world will be assessed or can be assessed by pressure from the heart of man. We have said that insight is a product of interest. You cannot be insightful until you are interested. And this pressure in the heart is a product of value. We looked at that on Wednesday. You value the word, so there is pressure for the word. You value it because you know the word, your life depends on the word of God. You value it because you know your existence depends on the word of God. You value it because you know many things can go wrong in your life apart from the word of God. That is the first, desperate pressure for insight. Number two is the attitude of excitement and expectancy. The attitude of excitement and expectancy. Psalm 119, where we read verse 162, it said, I rejoice at your word. I rejoice at your word. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, it said, therefore with joy shall you draw waters from the wells of salvation. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. He told us about some Christians in Berea. He said they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. Beloved, revelation answers to expectation. Readiness of mind. Excitement will attract insight. Readiness of mind. Don't forget this I'm about to say for as long as you live. What you expect determines what you experience. Readiness of mind. Some people come to church to fulfill all righteousness. They don't expect to hear anything. It is Sunday, so I should go to church. What you look out for determines what you locate out of life. I have seen that. What you look out for. What you look out for. Many, many years ago, I had a Volvo car. I think around the time we came into this town, 20-something years ago, I loved the car at that time because of how it was. I went to one town and I said, they don't have this kind of car in this town. And then I decided to look out. And then I looked. One, two, three, four, five. For as long as I was not looking for it, I didn't see it. When I deliberately looked, I saw that I began to see it. That was where I realized that it is what you look out for that you locate. All truths are parallel. You need expectation, and you also need an attitude of celebration to arrive at revelation. Don't forget this I'm about to say. There can be no inspiration in depression. Nobody can be depressed and be inspired. Inspiration can never happen for depression. Except it's a depressed, a depressive inspiration. Can never. So, desperate pressure for light, the attitude, excitement, and expectancy. Number three is the attitude of meekness. Meekness means teachability. James chapter 1 verse 21 we read, lay apart filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, then receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Meekness. Psalm 25 verse 9. The Bible said the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Meek. We're talking about the attitude of meekness or teachability. It is key to light. It is key to insight. We live in a world today that is an unteachable world. I was listening to an American music minister yesterday. He said when he was a child, he was a church keyboardist in his father's church. He couldn't do all the other things that other people were doing, and he felt deprived, and he dared not come late to church because the belt is waiting for him at home. He funnily said, I was a victim of physical abuse, and the people started laughing because that is what they will call it today. He said, but that saved him from hell. He saved him from trouble. He said that saved him from disaster. You know, in that place today, you can't beat your son anymore. He will call police for you. You can't even tell him what to do. He is the one to tell what to do. Hello? We have so many people who have nobody teaching them. They won't listen to father, to mother, to pastor, to prophet, to nobody. So they won't even listen to the word. Because of mega disaster. Take your seat. Do you know that the one single person that wrote the highest number of chapters of the Bible in the Old Testament, one individual, his name was Moses in the Old Testament. Jeremiah wrote Jeremiah and Lamentation. Ezekiel wrote Ezekiel. Isaiah wrote Isaiah. But he wrote Genesis. He wrote Exodus. He wrote Leviticus. He wrote Numbers. He wrote Deuteronomy. He was also the meekest person. He was also the meekest person. God gave him light based on meekness. I think that was Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very meek. Above all the men, everybody that was his age mate, he was very meek. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth, there was nobody that could match Teachability. At times, teachability looks like stupidity. But the stupidity of teachability is better than the mentality of rascality. Because rascality will always end in calamity. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? As if, now listen to this. As if that is not, you see, inside the Bible, there are always two witnesses to confirm everything. So if the person who wrote the largest number as a single person in the Old Testament, his book was the meekest person, what about the New Testament? The same. The meekest person among the apostles was called Paul the Apostle. He wrote half of the New Testament, from Acts of the Apostles to Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and keep going. Ephesians, Philippians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrew, all of them. One person. What was his testimony? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10, he said, I am not even qualified to be called an apostle. I am the least of the apostles. I am not even qualified. I am nothing. Not me to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but by the grace of God. That is what meekness will do for you. The limit of your meekness is the limit of your insight. And the limit of your meekness is also the limit of your greatness. It is an arrogant generation that is an ignorant generation. America, technology is almost going away to China. Because in America today, the kind of laws and things that they have that encourages children to do whatever they want. And then China is almost taking over in terms of many, many things. Beloved, meekness will open your eyes. Hear this. Naughtiness is the doorway to naughtiness in life. See any man, woman, boy, girl that is naughty, he will end up as naughty on it. See any pastor that is naughty, is not listening, not hearing nobody, he will end up as nothing on it. I met a young man many years ago. When I came into town here, he was in town before we came. And it was very, very braggadocious. He looked down, talked down on us. Oh, no, you don't need to come. There are so many churches in town and so on. But we said, God sent us here. And somebody was telling me, leave them alone. If God sent them, you leave them. Many years later, after God is doing a few things with us and helping us, the same man came. And he said, sir, I came to find out from you, what does somebody do for church to grow and for the work of God to flourish? What should somebody need to do? I know that you have to be very prayerful. I know that you have to study the Bible. I know that you have to be a worshiper. I know that you... He answered the question, asked the question and started answering. I haven't said one thing. When he finished talking, I said, you know everything already, sir. All the things that you know, that is the answer. Go ahead. I didn't say one word to him. Because he came not ready to learn. He came to show what he knew. Archbishop Benson Idahosa told Papa Yedekpo, Archbishop of Blessed Memory, said, what took me 33 years to achieve, you have seen it under 10 years.
He said, obedience and humility brought you here. And obedience and humility will keep you. He told him, he said, other people came to show me what they know. He said, you came to show what you don't know. That is why you are where you are. Insight into the world will take you far. There was a time that we looked stupid. We had a mother that was very rigid and very, she will wake you up in the morning, 5 a.m. thereabout, and give you solid instruction. This is how to live and this is how not to live. And we followed the things she was saying and we looked so stupid until some people were almost referring to us as women picking. See where the stupidity landed. I like to tell young children, don't let any of your age mate intimidate you saying you don't have a mind of your own. That is a voice from hell. That you are now a matured person, you are grown, you should be able to do this and that by yourself. That is a voice from hell. No matter how tall a child is, that child can never get the wisdom of a parent. Your future is your father's past. Your future is your, where you are looking forward to, he has passed there since. You know, there is a way we think like, oh, they don't understand. We understand where. Am I communicating at all? Teachability that looks like stupidity is what will give you authority and notoriety on the face of the earth. It looks like stupidity. It looks like you don't know anything. It looks like you don't know, have a mind of your own. They may be mocking you. They may be, oh, church. Everything pastor says what you want. This, that, and that. Provided it is producing results for pastor and producing results for ministry, you follow the step. I have followed rigidly the steps of my father and the Lord, Bishop Yodeko, in many ways. And the result is drastic for every devil to see. Take your seat. Is God speaking to somebody at all? I want you to know that. Papu Yedepo said, it is foolish to be shameful of what is gainful. That is, you are ashamed of what has gained. Somebody say amen. I needed to dwell on this point. Because there are people in church, before you mention the chapter, they have mentioned the verse. All right. Let's go to the next point. It's connected to this one. So, this is the attitude of meekness. Number 4 is the avoidance of familiarity with the world. The avoidance of familiarity with the world.
God has something to say. God has something to say. Listen. Pay close attention. For God has something to say.
Do you know, beloved, that God has something new to say every day. Psalm 19 verse 2. The Bible said, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. That is, every day God has something to say. The steadfast love, Lamentation chapter 3 verse 22 to 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. New every morning. God has something new to say every day. Now, and everything about God is new every day. Let me say this to you. There is the possibility to see fresh revelation from the same passage every day as long as time lasts. Every day. Because the word of God, the Bible says, is a treasure of wisdom and knowledge, according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Anytime a scripture occurs to your mind, even if it is John 3:16, that you know, for God so loved the world. Don't say I have read it. Don't even say I know it. Open it. Never say I know this scripture before, or I can quote it, or I have read it before. Familiarity breeds contempt, and contempt forbids insight. Nobody can gain anything from who they are familiar with. I was talking with a pastor. We know each other. We grew up together. And he was talking to me a few days ago. We have one suit together. We have one shoe together. That's how we wear. He was talking to me and he said, every time I look at my future, he was talking, every time he looks at his future, and he said, who is it that has what I am looking for? He said, it is you I see. Every time I look for a pastor or somebody who can be my mentor, it is you I see. And then he said to me, please, don't look at me like you used to look at me. Look at me now as your protege. You are my mentor. Don't shy away from commanding me if you need to. He said, you are too gentle with me. He said, you are too gentle with me. You are too gentle with me. He said, 14 years ago, you were telling me something, giving me an instruction. He said, if you were firm, I would have taken that decision. But you were so gentle with me, as if you were feeling like you didn't need to offend me. He said, no, that relationship has passed. This is now father and son. Somebody the same age with me, the same age. One called me from America. He may be watching this broadcast now. He said, Lord, who are you leading me to for pastoring? And God pointed me to him and at everything he says. And the Holy Spirit said, but you are his friend. And friends don't release inheritance to friend. It is father that gives son inheritance. If you need what he has, change position. He says, so I am changing position. I am changing position. He said, please help me. Don't feel somehow. Over familiarity with the Bible. Over familiarity with who should help you. Deprived many people. The other day, I was at our school here. One of the students, children that was in school, had a sickness that they were querying, terrible life-threatening like cancer or something. And the principal told me, so I prayed for that child in that school there. And then the next time I was there, I saw the mother of the child and then the father. They worship in another church, but the children are here. And they came to tell me, oh, the second result is out and there is no trace of that kind of thing anymore. And then the father shook hands We shook hands with the father and so on. That man went to his church to testify that his hand was on fire for almost 24 hours of a handshake. What a value. That there are people that won't feel. What a value. His hand, he testified in his church. I have a testimony. I had an encounter. I met that man of God. He just gave me a handshake and my hand has not recovered. Because it's not familiar. Because it's not taking nothing for granted. Today, something is changing for somebody's life. If you are that one, you will say louder, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. There are many Bible passages that I have read many times. I have been reading the Bible for about 40 years now. I rededicated, I came to the Lord first in 1979. This is 2019, that is exactly 40 years. Rededicated in 86, that is 34 years. And I've read the Bible through many times, but till today, I look at passages in scripture afresh and I, as if I have never read it before. God will give you a new light. Somebody say amen like a believer. Somebody say amen like a believer. You are trusting God for fresh light. Say it louder, amen. That was number four. Number five is partnership with the Holy Spirit. Partnership with the Holy Spirit will help us to benefit from scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. He said, behold, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yeah, the deep things of God. God has revealed them to us. So the Holy Spirit reveals. John chapter 16 verse 13. John 16, 13. And then if you have the Living Bible version, I would like to read it from there. See, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I would like you to get the Living Bible, TLB, permanently on this platform. But let me read this. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Now, let me read it for you out of this. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. I'd like you to understand three things about the Holy Spirit. First, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. This is John chapter 17, verse 17. He said, is the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of the Word. That's John chapter 17. So the first thing I'd like you to understand is that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. All right. This is what it says. When the Holy Spirit, who is truth, comes, he shall guide you into all truth, for he will not be presenting his own ideas, but will be passing on to you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Second, know that the Holy Spirit is our spiritual guide. Is our compass. Is our navigator. Is the Spirit of, is our spiritual guide. Is our compass. Is our navigator. He ushers us into the depths of the world. That was what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 to 10 said. That's the Holy Spirit. And finally, note that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Is the author of the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 and 21. made it clear that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God, that is the prophecy of scripture, they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. And what does that mean to you? Nobody knows a book like his author. Nobody can teach a book like the one who wrote it. What does that mean to you? As you pray abundantly in the Holy Spirit, and as you ask him questions, Holy Spirit, what did you mean in this place when you were writing it, when you were saying it, what did you mean? Well, you communicate with the Holy Spirit, then you can receive light. Light is coming for somebody here. Can that amen be louder? So desperate pressure for light is first. Attitude of excitement and expectancy is second. Attitude of meekness is third. The avoidance of familiarity with the word is fourth. Partnership with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit is five. And then number six is practical action on the word. Practical action on the word. God gives revelation to those who are given to action. Action. He said in James chapter 1 verse 22 where we read that we should not be hearers of the word only, deceiving ourselves. And then in verse 25, he said that people who are doers of the word and not hearers only are the people that will be blessed in their deeds. Mark chapter 4 verse 24. He says again. He said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Again, the Living Bible said, the measure of attention, you can even check the Amplified Version too. The measure of attention. He said unto them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. Thought and study. If you have the Living Bible, you can also read that. What you do with what you are receiving determines whether more will be given to you. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Now, let me say something. Let me say something to you. Let me say something. Every knowledge you have from scripture that is without action point is mere information. Am I communicating? It's information. You don't call it revelation. For example, I just got a revelation from the Bible. I just got a revelation. And somebody say, what is that revelation? He said, God said to me, he will bless my bread and my water. Wow. What a revelation. God says, he will bless my bread and my water. That is no revelation. You don't quote the Bible like 419. Philippians 419. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. That is Philippians 419. And they are quoting it like 419. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. No, that is no revelation. Read the two verses before it. Two, three verses before it. Then he will show you. Okay, from verse 16, he said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again. That is Apostle Paul talking to my necessity. You were given to the work of God in my hands. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I have everything, I abound. I am full and I have received of Epaphroditus. The things that you sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, you offer the sacrifice. It is acceptable. It is pleasing to God. For that purpose, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What is the information? My God shall supply your needs. What is the action? You gave and sacrificed. What is the revelation? If I give, he will supply. So what is revelation? Scriptural information plus practical action equals revelation. Hello? Take your seat. So you can call it revelation. If you have identified the information God is giving you, and then you have identified the action, that is a revelation. It must come to pass. And revelation will lead to manifestation. You call it revelation if you have seen the provision that God gave and you have seen the condition to meet. Somebody say amen. You call it when you have revelation. And in that revelation, you see the responsibility. Then you are on your way to all possibilities. Somebody say amen. Did anybody follow anything at all? You see, the reason why many of us, it appears as if God is no more talking to us, is because we keep on quoting things that we like out of scripture and doing nothing about it. Every time you arrive at a scripture, ask God, ask yourself, what am I to do with this passage? Look at the passage of, for example, let me give you an example passage, Romans 8:28. Anybody know it? And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them who are the called. According to his purpose. Somebody jumps up and says, powerful. I saw a revelation today. What is the revelation? Everything is working for my good. Oh. Everything is working for my good. Oh. Powerful. I see everything working together for my good. Powerful. Now, look at what the Bible is saying. Let me give you a paraphrase. He said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This is how it is. If you love me and you line up with my purpose for your life, whatever comes your way and whatever goes on around you will have a favorable outcome. Hello? Hello? If you love me and if you line up with my purpose for your life, whatever goes on around you, doesn't matter how it looks, and whatever is happening will have a pleasant and favorable outcome. It will end well. So what is it? What am I to do with a passage like this? Do I want things to work together for my good? Number one, Lord, help me to love you. And help me to love you more. Number two, deliver me, Lord, from my own purpose. All things does not work together for good for everybody. It doesn't work together for them who are pursuing their own agenda. Oh, see, that is why some people say, oh, the Bible, I have been quoting the Bible. It's not working for me. Quote it well. All things does not work together for the person who packs herself and hands herself over to a man. No dowry, no bride price, nothing. And just dash herself like that. All things does not work together for good to somebody who forged documents to go to America or forged things to go to Europe. And then he's living in Germany. And he's saying, pastor, pray for me. I jam need in Germany. lied. He lied to travel. God wants him to stay in Nigeria. He wants to stay in Germany.
And God said, all things will work together for your bad.
Number one, because you don't love me. And number two, because you are on your own. O-Y-O. Not on your state, oh. On your own. Somebody say amen. Is God speaking to anybody at all? Are you following anything at all? After you have seen such a scripture and you have written down what you saw, again, write action. One, make demands on the love of God. Two, ask God to always help you to be in his plan and to deliver you from your own purpose. Then you have the right to declare, all things must work together in my favor. I love God more than I even love myself. And I am following God's purpose, not my own agenda. Therefore, it must work. Am I communicating? Take your seat. Whenever God sees that you function with the Bible like that, you saw it, you saw what is your own role, you documented it and decided to follow it up, next time you open the Bible, he will show you more. Next time you open it, he will show you more. Next time you open it, he will show you what others can't see. And people will say, but I read the same passage yesterday. Hallelujah. I prophesy to somebody here today. Your eye is opening today. Your eye is opening today. Your eye is opening today. And you will see what you haven't seen before. Shout the loudest. Amen. Did anybody receive anything today? Finally, walking in uprightness. Walking in uprightness is key to light from the world. The Bible said in James chapter 1 verse 21, he said, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness. Lay them aside until filthiness is put away. The word, the revealed word, can never be accessed. Do you know that light belongs to the upright? Psalm 97 verse 11. Light is sown, is a seed for the righteous. Permit me the use of this word. Righteousness is doorway to lightiousness. Lightiousness is doorway to lightedness. He said, light is sown for the upright. Psalm 112 verse 4. He said, unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. Unto the upright light arises even in darkness. So sinfulness and crookedness will only favor lightlessness. No person can come and say, I mean, he confirmed 419. And he said, sorry, yesterday I was reading the Bible, I saw something. Except he was seeing how God is saying, come out of 419. Nothing. He can't see nothing. You cannot be crooked and be lighted. You can't, it's not possible. You can't hear God, you can't see nothing out of scripture. You are quarrelsome and bitter and cantankerous and done nothing, talking terms with people and say, God was just speaking to me in the Bible how you helped me to become very powerful. Not powerful, powerless. Am I communicating? Somebody say amen. You cannot be crooked and be, you can't be a liar, a cheat, a dupe. Do you know there are people in this country that cannot do business with anybody and the person is happy with them? If money come between them and somebody, something must go wrong. You want God to talk to you and see something out of the Bible? It's not possible. Spending 6 hours in the night on junk bad internet sites. Hello? Just loaded mind with garbage and rubbish, and then God opened my eyes to see wondrous things out of your book. It's not possible. Am I communicating at all? It's lay apart all filthiness, all lifefulness. Lay it apart. There are people, when they say good morning, you have to look at your time to be sure it's not afternoon. There are people, even their name is not true. What is your name? What they will say is not truth. Am I communicating? And such a person wants direction from God. You will go places. For the information of all of us, the dressing code in area one is the same here. And it's not our personal dress code. It is kingdom lifestyle. It is. Nobody goes to church like he's going to nightclub. And nobody is permitted to be going to nightclub anyway. Nobody does that. Nobody comes to church as a temptation to other people. Nobody. Nobody dresses the kind of dress you are that is meant for your bathroom, not even the bedroom, bathroom. Come to church with it. You can't do that. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Until your atmosphere is clean, your mind is not clear. Your heart, your spirit cannot be clear to receive the things you should receive from God. It's a new day for somebody. You may not be perfect, but you must be sincere. What did I say? That's right. Be absolutely sincere with God. Absolutely. Here am I, Lord. I'm struggling with this or that. I need help. Here am I, Lord. Just help me. I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to offend you. This is me. Just help me. It's far better. All the apostles that followed Jesus, were they perfect? Peter can deny. He was denying more frequent than a cock crow. Thomas has a degree in doubtology. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, terrible temper. Judas Iscariot, anything you want to miss, ask him to keep it. It's like sending lion with meat. Please help me deliver this meat for me. Those are the kind of people that follow Jesus Christ to show you that it was normal people like us. But they were open. Judas was such a thief that everybody knows he was thieving. They gave him time to repent. He refused to repent until he hanged himself. Somebody say amen. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I am open with you. I am sincere with you. Help me, Lord, to do the right thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to go to hell. Help me, Lord, to do the right thing. Stand up on your feet 1 minute. I don't have so much to say because I already gave you the action points. All I can say to you by way of counsel is apply yourself to the secrets you have just received. To get the most out of Scripture, just apply yourself to the secrets you just received. And next is to permanently identify actionable points. That is, I have seen the Bible. What do I do with it? Even today's service now, what do I do with the message I just heard? I will go back home. I'll go through so that I can have a future. It is well with you. I said it is well with you. And I said again, it is well with you. Well, can you lift up your two hands everywhere you are? Let us appreciate God for what we have received. Lift your voice and honor him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Ancient of days, I love you. Thank you, Master. Lift your voice and say after me. Say, Father. Say it. Father, I receive the grace for desperate pressure for the world. I receive the attitude of excitement and expectancy. I receive the grace for teachability, for meekness. I receive the grace never to be familiar with the word of God. I receive the grace to partner with the Holy Spirit. I receive the grace to stand on the word of God. I receive that grace in the name of Jesus. The grace to walk in uprightness. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. I receive the grace to walk in uprightness. The grace. Lift your voice and speak. I receive the grace to walk in uprightness. I receive that grace. Masha kobagadagalaya da hasani nishtalala. Leferete sikoko bagadagalaya da hashatala mananana. Lekeferete sotekelete feteke sikita kalalaya da hashta. Lekeferete setene menagalaya da hashta. Lekestida miroto sofini menekele virash. La paranaske tone megedegelista. Leperete skito managashta kikele feretesi. Leperete skine manayalala. I receive the grace. I receive the grace. Lift your voice and speak to God. I receive that grace. I receive that grace. I receive that grace. I receive that grace. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Between now and the closing of the service, in a short while from now, please, no movements, so that we can have the best of the service. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. From this front to the back, left to the right, everywhere you are. You heard the message this morning. You say, Pastor, I want to give myself to God. I want my sins forgiven. I want today to mark a new day for me. Anywhere you are, pray this prayer with me and say after me. Now, those who are praying this prayer include those who want to give their life to Christ for the first time, those who want to rededicate themselves to God, those who want to have an addiction broken, a negative habit broken. Pray this prayer with me and say after me, Jesus. Say it louder. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, backward, never. Forward, ever. Thank you for hearing me, Lord. And thank you for answering. In Jesus' name. Amen. Those who pray that prayer, can I see your hand up? Wave it. Lift it high up. Counselors, with the assistance of the ushers, can you quickly give them the forms and they will receive them at the end of the service. Lift the hand. Wave it. Wave it. Just let that hand remain up until they give you a form. And then we'll receive you at the end.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Lift the hand up, those who pray the prayer. Wave it, wave it, wave it. Again, don't drop it until all over the place here, everywhere here. Until the forms reach your hand.
Come away, have your will, Lord.
Everybody, body, body, see. I give you my heart.
I give you my soul.
I live for you alone.
I live for you alone.
Every moment I'm away.
Every moment.
stand up still. Let them give you the form. Everybody sing.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Persistently up here. What?